Hey guys, coming up, a conversation that Scott Linebrink from Get in the Games podcast, our Sports Spectrum sister podcast. Scott Linebrink talked to Homer Drew, Scott Drew, and Bryce Drew. Homer Drew, the longtime legendary Valparaiso coach. His son Scott Drew, of course, Baylor's current coach and a national champion in 2021. And Bryce Drew, who is the head coach currently at Grand Canyon University. And Scott Linebrink was able to talk to all three of them at the same time. There's a ton of wisdom, some fun stories, lots of laughs. I think you guys will love this conversation. It's coming up in just a moment here on Sports Spectrum. First, I want to remind you about our Sports Spectrum magazine. Our fall 2023 issue is out now. Kirk Cousins from the Minnesota Vikings is on the cover, and it's the perfect gift for that kid, that person in your life who loves Jesus and loves sports. If you're looking for faith-filled family content that's sports-related, that's safe, you can make sure that you're not going to have to worry about what's in there, whether it's, you know, language or inappropriate, you know, pictures or anything like that. No, that's not what Sports Spectrum's about. And so consider subscribing to the Sports Spectrum magazine. You can go to sportsspectrum.com, and we keep Jesus in the sports conversation. And if you use the code podcast15, podcast15, when you subscribe to the Sports Spectrum magazine, you can save 15% off a one-year subscription exclusive to podcast listeners. To people listening to this podcast only, get that 15% off discount. You can go to sportsspectrum.com. Again, put in the code podcast15, podcast15, and save 15% off a one-year subscription to the Sports Spectrum magazine.
This is going to be a great, great podcast. We are not going to run out of things to talk about on this show. And here, by way of an introduction, I've got a few stats here, and you guys correct me if I've got any of this wrong. Homer Drew, 41 years of coaching, sixth all-time at the time of your retirement in wins collegiately with 640 wins. You coached at Washington State, LSU, Bethel, Indiana University, Valparaiso University, and led Valpo to their first ever Sweet 16 appearance in 1998, of which your son Bryce, who's also on the call, was a player on that team and sunk that amazing shot at the buzzer to win and go to the Sweet 16. You've had 10 NIT appearances, 7 NCAA tournament appearances, and you were inducted into the College Basketball Hall of Fame in 2019. Homer, it's an honor to have you on the show. Is that all right?
Oh, it's a privilege to be with you all. And one thing was, Scott was our assistant coach when Bryce hit the shot. So it was all three of us for that.
That's right. Moment. That's right. Okay, so thank you for reminding me that. I'm going to go to Scott next, and we're just doing this in order of age. So no preferential treatment here. Scott, you took over for your dad at Valpo after he retired, and then you moved to Waco in 2003, and where you still serve as the head coach of the Baylor Bears. You led the greatest comeback, perhaps arguably, in college basketball history. You took a program that was in the depths of despair, had a terrible issue going on there when you came in, with a couple of players, and you led them to their first ever national championship. You culminated that comeback in 2021. So in less than 20 years, it's amazing what you have done. You yourself have 421 wins. Do I have all that right?
I'm sure. I'm just thankful you didn't mention the losses.
No, we're just sticking with wins here. All right, Bryce. You played for your dad at Valpo. After you played your senior year in 1998, that magic season where y'all went to the Sweet 16, you were a first-round draft pick in the NBA, went on to play 6 years in the NBA, and then you went on to coach after that at Valparaiso and then Vanderbilt, and now you're leading the Grand Canyon University team. And you just took them to their first-ever Western Athletic Conference championship 2 years ago, I believe, and you have 229 wins. So that means between the three of you, we have 1,290 wins in college basketball. That's pretty special for a family.
Yeah, I got to do a lot better. I got to get that number up. They're way ahead of the pack right now.
Well, so that leads me to my first question. What does the Drew family Thanksgiving dinner look like? Are you guys, is there a little bit of rivalry going on there, or are you genuinely each other's biggest fans?
Definitely biggest fans. Usually a Thanksgiving meal, we're at some tournament, Bryce is at some tournament, and wherever it's the nicest place, Dad picks.
What about you, Homer? Do you kind of talk about these guys like, hey, you got a long way to go there, young pups?
Well, they're moving very quickly, surpassing me, which is wonderful. The best thing that Scott that I enjoy is how well Scott and Bryce do work together now that they're in the coaching profession, both of them. So, and from a dad's point of view, one of my special moments is probably like at 11, 12 at night when the three of us are on a three-way just talking basketball. And the nice thing, Scott, I think I'm learning more from them than what I give out to them.
Interesting.
So it's been very special to have both boys into coaching.
Bryce, you got anything to say to that?
Yeah, he has a lot more to add than what he thinks. You know, sometimes he gives such a basic, like, one or two sentence answer, and you're like, come on, Dad, like there's got to be more than that. And then you get in the office and you start thinking about it and be like, man, man, that's right. It's so simple. Like, just do it this way. It'll be so much better.
Well, y'all have a special relationship, and as you know, I have a special relationship with my dad, and my dad is actually my connection to all three of you, because Dad was at Valparaiso when Homer was coach, and Scott, when you were coaching, and Bryce, you were playing, got to know all of y'all, and of course, I got introduced to you, and we've kept up over the years, some of you more than others, but Scott, you're right up the road there in Waco, and we love coming up and watching the Bears, and you always take care of us up there, and my family has become big Baylor Bears fans because of you. But I reached out to Dad before this interview and I said, hey, guess what? I got all three of the Drew boys on the same call. What should I ask him? And this is what Dad said. He goes, all right, ask him this question. He said, how is it that the three of you got into the same profession? Because he said, Homer, he's got all the charisma and the leadership skills to do anything he wanted. He said, Scott could have sold ice to Eskimos. I mean, he's a salesman. And he said, Bryce, you know, you had the NBA career. You were a successful entrepreneur. You opened up a chain of restaurants. But then you all got into basketball. So how is it that that happened?
Great question. First of all, tell your dad thanks for the question. Second of all, tell Dad that he was a big part of our success at Valparaiso University when he and I worked very closely in raising funds to help our basketball program. So thank your dad very much. And to have the close relationship with him has been a great benefit to my life. So the Linebrinks are good. Plus, Scott Linebrink, I remember when you were a young pup and Bryce and I came and watched you pitch in New Orleans and fell in love with you and your effort and commitment to baseball, and then followed you throughout your pro career and the wonderful world of baseball. And your dad and I have constant talks about baseball because I'm a diehard St. Louis Cardinal fan. And of course, he's from that state of Texas, so his loyalty is down there. But please reach out and thank Dad very, very much. Let me just share a quick thought and I'll let Scott and Bryce take over. Growing up, all as a father was that you wanted them to find something that they enjoyed doing that wouldn't be, quote, work, where they hated to go in and do their job. So I was just happy for them to find something. And it was never planned that, in my opinion, or from my point of view, Scott, that they would go into coaching. And so I can remember Scott Drew coming home his senior year from college and saying, Dad, we need to talk. And I said, well, sure, because his plans were to go on to law school. And he said that he would like to try coaching. And I said, fine. And only as God can put things together in his timing, as we had an opening at Valparaiso University. So I said, well, why don't you try coaching and then we'll see how that fits for you. And pretty much the same for Bryce, when he was through playing NBA basketball, we had an opening, and he wasn't sure if he was going business or basketball. So we said, well, try it and let's just see how you respond and if you like it. And both of them are excellent coaches and they're wonderful with people. And I guess what I love most about what you do in Water Missions and that is to serve others. And as a dad, just very proud of both Scott and Bryce because they help others grow in the Lord.
Scott, what do you got to add to that?
Well, I think one of the biggest compliments a son can ever give his dad is wanting to follow in his footsteps. And my dad, obviously, Bryce and I agree, is the best dad in the world. And I'm sure a lot of sons feel the same way about their dads. But the fact that I always say actions speak louder than words and that we wanted to follow in the same profession as him is because we really respected and admired what he did, how he did it, how much we looked up to him. At the same time, as he touched on serving others, I mean, Jesus came to serve, not be served. And there's no better feeling than when you're helping other people reach goals and dreams and having a team work together to achieve something. And God gives us all different talents and abilities. And my dad's right. He tried to make sure that we had plenty of options. And we want to thank him for the piano lessons, the karate lessons, the guitar lessons, and all those things that we just loved. But at the end of the day, I know it's a blessing to be in this profession. And a big part of that is because just what we looked up to my dad. And then he gave us an opportunity also to get started. And from there, one thing we didn't mention is we're this actually the second winningest family in college basketball behind the Ibis. So a lot of pressure's on Bryce because he's going to have to coach for a long time to make sure we pass them when it's all said and done.
Wow. How many wins is that, Scott? Do you know?
I think they're at 1,600. We're at close to 1,300.
13? So, yeah. Y'all can do it.
That or my dad's got to get out of retirement. So we threaten him with that every once in a while. When he gives too much advice, we're like, all right, you want to come back?
Homer, you ever think about coming back?
No. I tell you what I do miss is the camaraderie in the locker room and the practicing. That was very enjoyable because you enjoyed seeing young people get better, coming in as freshmen and then insecure and kind of feeling their way around. And then their senior year, they just run everything. And it's just wonderful to see that progression in a young person's life. So that's the real enjoyment of coaching for me anyway. But in today's world, recruiting, I can remember my last few years, my staff would say, Coach, try to stay on at least for 2 or 3 minutes, would you please, when you talk with them. So that was a good clue that recruiting was not my strong point.
Yeah. Bryce, how about you? Talk about your entrance into the coaching career.
I tried some of those business meetings my dad talked about, and I think I realized quickly that basketball was what I knew best and what I could do best. And so it quickly attracted me right back to the sport. And then kind of like my brother's, just really good timing. My dad had a spot open right when my career was kind of at a fringe where, yeah, I could maybe try one more year overseas or go into coaching. And he had an opening. So it was an easy decision to stop playing and dive right into it. And, you know, I think I look back and I think of all the coaches I had in my life and I think of all the teachers I had and just the other people that I've known or, you know, even people at church that I've met. And it does seem like coaches have such a big impact, you know, especially for an athlete during the different phases of your life and the influence they can have. And so, you know, I kind of took a lot of my experiences, you know, some good, some bads, and tried to wrap it up how I felt as a player and which coaches helped me grow the most. And as I coach, you know, I try to remember those things and, you know, really try to help give, you know, the young people a really good experience and just enjoy, you know, the growth of the college years.
Well, Bryce, since you got the microphone, we're going to work with this question in reverse order. I found this quote actually by you when I was doing some of my research, and it says, we love to help young men develop into godly men and great husbands and hopefully win a few championships along the way. But my question in light of that quote is, what is the mark of a good coach?
Yeah, you know, I think it probably matters who your audience is and who you're trying to you know, impress or you know, who you're coaching for. I think for all three of us, it's really easy. You know, we want to do things what's right before the Lord. We're so blessed, like Scott said, with this platform to be able to lead young men and, you know, lead great universities. And so, you know, I think the influence we have on them. And, you know, one of the stories that really impacted me was a little early in my career. We had a Canadian young man, and at the end of the year, one of our coaches was eating with him, and he asked him, "Hey, like, what are you going to remember from this year?" And we won like 30 games and won a championship, had like a great year. And he's like, "Coach, it's like I've never seen fathers interact with their kids how you guys do as a coaching staff." And that was this young man's biggest takeaway from the year. And it really just impacted me that you know, how we live our day-to-day life and the example we set, you know, could impact him as he becomes a father, you know, one day and lives his life. And so that was a great, just a kind of eye-opener, how observant, you know, the players, the people in our program are, and how we need to live our life.
Yeah, and I don't think I'm going to interject there, because I don't think you get that just by, you know, sharing something in a team meeting. I mean, that's something that you live out each day. Those guys are watching you, watching how you interact with them, with your family. I'm sure you have opportunities to bring your kids up to the court and be a part of different practices and games. So that's something that is probably more caught than taught.
Yeah, you know, and I think people ask a lot, you know, what's the difference with how my dad coached, my brother coached, and I coach. And you know, I think we all have different, you know, little intricacies that we do. But I think one of the main thing is just the blueprint, you know, how my dad kind of coached, you know, myself, at least. I think Scott incorporates a lot of that blueprint into our programs. And, you know, it starts with, you know, Jesus and our relationship with God. And that's how we make decisions in our program and how we run our programs.
I think it's so cool, too, that all three of you are getting to coach or have coached at Christian universities where the gospel is welcome into the court and the field of play. So very neat that you get to pursue a passion that you love, but also be able to bring faith into it and share that with others. Scott, let me go to you next. What is the mark of a good coach?
What? I think we run a culture of joy, Jesus, others, yourself. Just like Bryce said, we tell our players to play for an audience of one. We try to coach for an audience of one. At the end of the day, the only game that matters is the game of life. And we're going to all be in heaven, and we want hopefully as many players and people we've interacted with to be up there. And anyone that's not, then that's going to be the most. That'll be the real loss. So that's first and foremost. Second of all, obviously you don't get to coach long if you don't win and you're not successful. And that's the great thing about being a Christian. Sometimes people think Christians might be meek or soft. And I mean, Jesus was the toughest person to ever walk this earth, the things he endured for us. So there's grit, there's toughness behind that. And we're called to do our best. And 1 Corinthians 9:24 is one of my favorite verses. Do you not know in a race all runners run, but only one wins the prize? Run in such a way to win the prize. And we're to give our all each and every day.
Homer, give us some wisdom.
I think we just got them right there. Bryce and Scott, I think they worded it better than I could do with it. Just that the impact is based because of what Jesus said. You know, I came to serve and not to be served. And it's the wonderful thing that when you serve people, that you get more enjoyment and satisfaction than what they get. And that's the bottom line. And what Scott mentioned, our destination is to be in heaven together with everybody. And finally, I'll make a hole in one and finally get the biggest bass in heaven up there.
Yeah. Yeah, I know all three of you are fishermen, and we're talking about maybe doing a Linebrink Drew family fishing tournament sometime. So I look forward to that day out on the lake with y'all.
Hey, Scott, it's nice to fish in Texas, isn't it? Arizona, they only have desert.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
We've been catching them like this over here. So.
we call that bait around here, right, Scott?
That's right. Exactly. Isn't there another Drew family that's pretty good at basketball too? Family member? We don't have everybody on this call.
We certainly do. Our daughter Dana, yes, my daughter, their sister, and she was maybe the most competitive one in the whole family. We would play 2-on-2 in the backyard, and she was very feisty and very determined. And if she didn't win, she would get upset. She would be very much of a competitor. And she's now at Grand Canyon University in the administrative team and working with the government relations that she's really enjoying. But she's got four of our grandchildren. Three are boys, and all three of them are excelling in basketball. And Uncle Bryce gets the benefit of coaching two of them, and Isaiah and Caleb. And then Luke is a senior in high school this year, and he has been invited to the top 100 NBA camp coming up at the end of this month. So very proud of what Dane and her family has done as well.
And Bryce, what has that been like working alongside your sister? I think y'all even coached together at one point, didn't you?
No, I never coached with her. Okay. My dad actually coached with her husband, 1 year of high school, but, it's great. You know, anytime you got, you know, players on a team that grew up kind of around the profession, I think they understand it different. They approach it a little bit differently. And so they're very, team oriented, have a great team perspective. And, you know, they're both really good players, can shoot the ball, and they're both really grown, 1'6'8", 1'6'5" right now. So, so they're youngs, but their best years are ahead of them.
Yeah.
And Uncle Bryce did a great job. He got them better Christmas gifts, so that's why they're Grand Canyon.
All right, Homer, I know that you're proud of your sons. You've already talked about that quite a bit here on this call, but I'm going to give you a chance to play proud dad. If you could maybe just go to each of your sons and talk about what you're proud of them for and what each one of them kind of does uniquely.
Well, very proud, first of all, that they're both believers in Jesus, and that's the most important thing. Second thing is that both of them are very good family people. They have wonderful wives who been the backbone behind all of us, including my wife, Janet. And then the wonderful thing is we have 8 grandchildren. So thank you, Bryce and Scott, for grandchildren, because they are a complete joy. And the wonderful thing is that all the boys in the family know how to go fishing and love to fish. So that has been a great enjoyment. And fishing brought to Bryce and Scott, myself, just a wonderful relationship, because I can remember when they were like 2 and 3 years old, when I was living in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, they would go into the bayous with us and we would teach them how to fish a little bit. And to this day, both of them are excellent fishermen, and most of all, they enjoy it. Scott Linebrink, and it's been a good common denominator for our family. Very proud of what they've done professionally, very what they've done in their family, and just the recreation that we all enjoy together. So I feel very blessed. Let me give you an example about how this world goes around. I'll take fishing. When they started out fishing in a boat, I would put them in the front of the boat so that they could catch the fish, so that they would enjoy fishing a little bit. And now when we go fishing, they put me in the front of the boat so I can catch a fish. So, I love this circle of life and how the two of them have taken care of their dad over this period of time that we call old age, where time just keeps marching on, it seems like.
I love that, Homer. I don't think that I really expected it to go. I mean, I knew Jesus was going to be at the foremost forefront, and then family. But fishing, and you never really even got to basketball. So,
well, in the Drew family, that's a given.
Yeah,
I'm teasing. That's we go good. Back to the trumpet lessons, the piano lessons, to give them choices.
Well, let me pose a question to each of you, Scott and Bryce. What are you proud of about your dad, and what do you think was one of the big takeaways that you got from him? What did you learn from him?
I think for me, it was starting out that he had a choice when he was coaching at LSU, And back in the day, the NCAA didn't have rules on how long you could be gone. And it was like 156 nights. He had hotel receipts for in the last year. And the story was, my mom said he came home one night. We thought he was a burglar. And he's like, at that point, I need to change professions. And he, being in the profession, it's kind of like a minor league baseball player. When you finally get your shot at the major leagues and all of a sudden doing an about face and doing a career change. And for him to go to a small Christian school, Bethel College, where he could spend more time helping raise us and allowing us to see him and be a part of his life. That was in the profession now. When you look back, just a huge sacrifice per se he made, because he could have been a young Division I head coach on the path that he was at. And then after that, allowing us to just get into the profession, mentoring us. But most of all, as we all know, in childhood, when you're being raised, your parents aren't so smart. And then when you get older, you realize, when did they learn all this stuff? And just praying for a Christian wife, and making sure that our priorities with God, family, and job are in line. And again, that's probably in the coaching profession the hardest thing, because work can tend to move up to number one, because you spend so much time with your team and with work, and it's endless being a college coach. But at the same time, really the only thing matters is one and two, and that's making sure that your relationship with Christ is right, and making sure that you're being a good husband and father. And then the team part falls in line, because their priorities are right, seeing what you do.
That's a great story. Thank you for sharing that, Scott. Bryce, what did you learn from your dad?
You know, I got to play with him. I got to coach with him. You know, he's out in Phoenix with us here, so I get to see him, you know, often. And I would say the two biggest things is just his energy, a daily energy that, you know, is every day. It's not fake. And then the encouragement that he brings. You know, he's always got an encouraging word or a positive word or something to uplift you. And, you know, it was really cool, I think, to play for him for 4 years and work with him. I got to see it every day. So it wasn't just at home when he came, but, you know, I got to see how he acted every day in those settings. And those two things, you know, the older I get, it's just hard to find people that have consistent energy every day and just that are consistent encouragers. Mm-hmm. And those two words just really make me think of him.
I'm with you on that. All right. So let's talk about former players. You guys have had countless players play for you, hundreds, I would imagine, even thousands. Can you think, Bryce, you shared a wonderful story earlier about the impact that your program had on a player. To Scott, let's ask this question to you. Can you think of one player who was really impacted by your program for Christ?
That's one of the first things every year we go over, where spiritually we feel our team's at. And at the end of the year, hopefully we've made big inroads, improvements, and everyone's grown spiritually. And that includes the staff each and every day. But probably the biggest highlight was on the way to a Texas game. We had five of our players baptized on the way to the game, and that was pretty neat. And then we've had a lot of stories of players coming to Christ, and then like one, we had a player from Canada, Brady Heslip, who accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And then we had another player from Canada, Kenny Cherry, which he helped lead to Christ. And then Brady even did Bible studies with the Canadian junior team, national team, at one point. So just seeing the young men we coach to see where they're at. And I'm at the stage now where we have a lot of our past players come back with kids and family. And when they come back, some of them work in the church Sunday school and might not have never grown up in the church, and just seeing where they are now and knowing that we had a small part of being able, obviously God does all the work, but a small part of being able to model and hopefully point people to where our direction needs to be.
Okay, I want to go back to this baptism on the way to the Texas game, because it's only an hour and a half from Waco to Austin. Did you guys just pull over and get baptized in the Brazos River, or what did that look like?
Well, first of all, you know, we have two team chaplains, and one of them is an associate pastor at Highland. So he arranged that we made sure that the church was open and the water was warm, because, you know, guys are a little softer than they used to be, you know. So anyway, but it was amazing. It was just our travel party. We went in, and I think two or three of those players that got baptized, three of them are in the NBA today.
Wow, that's incredible. Thanks for sharing that story. Homer, how about you? It's been a few years since you coached. Do you still stay in touch with players that played for you?
Try to very much. In fact, Scott, Bryce, and I are trying to work, divide up some of the players when they were at Valparaiso University and call them and just visit with them about their time of life right now. And on a scale of 1 to 10, where do you think that you will be to get to heaven? And obviously, if you're 10, you know that Jesus is the Son of God. And if they say, well, I'm 8 because I do good works, then you can talk about, well, good works don't get you to heaven, and quote some of the Bible passages in that. But only through the grace of God that we can become Christians, and letting the Holy Spirit work within ourselves to acknowledge that Jesus is the Son of God. So I think that's a huge part of it. And God has helped me get back involved a little bit with calling some of the former players. So I'm excited about reaching out to them to find out where they are right now. But over the 40 some years of coaching, I think we've had something like 86, 87 go into pro ball somewhere around the world, not into the NBA. Bryce was our, well, NBA, and we had Ryan Brokoff, who Bryce coached too, went into the NBA. But they played professionally somewhere around the world, and over 100 and some went into coaching, Scott. And I thought that was really cool, because a lot of our managers ended up going into coaching as well. So, you know, each one teaches one, and it becomes that multiplication theory about getting people into heaven.
That's awesome. Well, man, I gotta think that that's just a great blessing to hear from a longtime coach that is so well respected. I mean, what kind of reaction do you get when you talk to some of these guys for the first time?
It's exciting. They're excited about their life, where they are, and then when we talk about God, it gives me a chance now to call them back to find out, you know, where are you now? So it's a good preliminary to follow up.
So cool how you've turned coaching into a discipleship legacy. That's amazing.
And that has been helpful by your dad, Mike Linebrink, as well as Steve Cohen, who is part of that Bible study group.
Wow, that's great. All right, this question is for any of you. How do you balance being competitive with maintaining a witness for Christ?
Next question.
It's a tough one, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, that's a great one. I would say, you know, as an athlete, when I was younger, especially in college, I definitely struggled a lot with that. You know, because you want to go out and destroy the other person and the opponent. And you kind of have to have that mentality, you know, as a pitcher too. You get kind of that different side of yourself when you're on the mound.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I definitely think, you know, when we step between the lines, and for myself, you know, I'm definitely way more competitive, you know, way more ambitious. But I think as I've gotten older, you know, like Scott kind of said, coaching for an audience of one, you know, keep my focus, you know, on the Lord. But like Scott said, I think the more that I read the Bible, the more I learned, you realize just how competitive Jesus was, and what a warrior he was. And if you do play soft or timid or coach that way, that's probably not how he would have done it. And so I think just growing in knowledge of Jesus and how he walked this earth and his goal and how he accomplished it, you know, has helped me, I think, be more competitive as a player than as a coach.
Mm. All right, Homer, I'm going to ask you this question, then I'm going to ask one more for Scott and Bryce. As you, now that you're retired, you look back on over 40 years of coaching. When you think back to like some of those vivid memories that are just etched into your mind, what are some of those memories that really stand out for you?
Wow. Well, the first one was when I was at Bethel College and we were having practice and some of the players weren't going real well. Scott and Bryce and Dana would be kind of running around the gym and doing things. And so I got upset with one of our players and I said, "Scott, get in for Jerome." And so Scott, who was much younger, obviously, than them, had to go in play and allow me to be upset at one of our players. So that one.
And it was his best player, too. Like, I mean, when you're 12 years old and you're replacing his best player, that's really fair, you know.
But I had to go back and talk to Jerome, and it made him a better player. So it worked out well, but I embarrassed my son. So that was not a good coaching move on Dad's part anyway there. And then, of course, I guess the shock that Bryce made because Scott was there and the three of us got to all enjoy that moment as well. And now it's great to watch Scott's team play and Bryce's team play and enjoy their success that they've had. And both of them are superb coaches on the floor and off the floor. And that makes my life very enjoyable as my senior days move on and on and on.
You know, Homer, you mentioned that shot, and that's a picture that I've seen dozens of times. And I'm always just struck by the calmness of you standing there with your arms just kind of crossed like this, with this really hopeful look. It's a look of confidence, too, though. Like, you know, hey, I've seen my son sink this shot hundreds of times. I know it's going to happen here again, but I've often put myself in that same situation. If my son was right there, you know, with the chance to win this game on this stage in front of these people, I mean, I'd be a mess. I'd be pulling my hair. I'd be jumping up and down, but you've just got such a composed look.
It was easy from the standpoint that what I felt was that with 2.5 seconds, the players, and there was the ball went out of bounds. So there was a moment and the players looked over and they just said, "Pacer." And all I had to do was say yes. And I felt my job as a coach was over with. I just put them into a position to let great things happen through them. And so why I was peaceful and calm was because they had learned. You know, I felt very good that they knew exactly what to do without coach being there. And so that was the calmness of it. Now, there was a moment about 2 seconds before that when Bryce had a wide open three that we thought that was going to be the shot that went in. And he missed that. And then there was a scramble and we fouled and they went to the free throw line. But it just shows you the magnificent of our God, because that would have made it nice, but that wouldn't have been anything special. But by putting it when the ball's in the air and the clock goes off and the ball goes in and they win by 1 point, only God can put that together.
Man, that is a great explanation of what it means to be a coach. I love that, Homer. Just putting it in the hands of people and trusting that the work that you've done has equipped them for this moment. And that's really what God does for us, right?
Amen.
Yeah. All right, last question. I'd love to hear, Scott, first your take, and then Bryce, you. How do you hope to be remembered?
So we do that sometimes with the players. It's not every year, but we ask them, when your life's over, how do you want to be remembered? And then we need to live in a way that you can have people say that. And I think with all three on the line. The most important thing wouldn't be we were genius X and O's. We worked really hard. I think it would be they were godly examples. They cared about instilling Christ with us. They were servants that tried to help us, and they loved us. Obviously, we all sin. We all make mistakes. But if we're a positive influence for the right things, then we'll hopefully hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. Now come enjoy your master's happiness."
Great answer. Bryce?
Yeah, you know, obviously that was the answer. I would say one other thing, just kind of end with it is, you know, living a daily Christian walk that others see. And so at the end, they don't talk how many wins, you know, did you have, but, you know, they know that our mission was to serve the Lord and to do our best for him. And, you know, sometimes that comes through wins. Sometimes, you know, in sports, you know, you get losses and setbacks. And I think those are some of your greatest ministry opportunities to show who you really are. And so, you know, it's really trying to keep that balance of keeping faith above wins and above profession.
Well, guys, I really appreciate the time. This has been a true blessing for me just to catch up with all three of you and just hear some of your insights and wisdom. I pray God's blessing and mercy on your continued discipleship and your coaching careers and just all that you're doing for the kingdom of God.
Thank you, Scott.
Thanks for all you do. Tell Dad I said hello, all right?
We'll do it. Let's go fishing.
Yes. Hey, I'm glad it was 7:30 in the morning their time and not our time too.
And many thanks to Scott Drew, Homer Drew, Bryce Drew for joining us today on Sports Spectrum. And of course, for joining Scott Limebrink on his show, Sports Spectrum's Get in the Game podcast, which you can listen to. It releases two episodes every single month. And Scott is a former Major League Baseball pitcher. He pitched for over a decade in the big leagues. And we are so blessed and thankful to have Scott as part of the Sports Spectrum team with his Get in the Game podcast. I hope you've had a chance to subscribe and listen to that show, and we'll put a link to that in the show notes so you can do just that. And again, we appreciate Mr. Limebrink for talking to Homer Drew, Scott Drew, and Bryce Drew here on Sports Spectrum. We thank you for tuning in as well and always appreciate your support, your encouragement, and just the fact that you even hit play to listen to today's podcast. It means a ton to us. Please make sure that you click that subscribe and that follow button as well so that you never miss an episode of Sports Spectrum's podcast. Tons of conversations, great interviews, great encouragement for me, just to be honest with you, in talking to so many people, men, women, coaches, players, all who love Jesus and have a unique Christ-centered story. That's the beauty of the gospel, right? It's one body. It's Jesus. We all come to follow him, but every story that each of us have is unique and different. And I love bringing those stories from the athletic world, from the sports world, here to Sports Spectrum. So we appreciate your support. Thank you again for being an ambassador for Sports Spectrum. Maybe tell someone about today's show or about our Sports Spectrum brand or even our podcast or our magazine. Whatever it is, you sharing about Sports Spectrum goes a long way and it means a ton to us. We appreciate you tuning in and we'll see you next time. Right here on Sports Spectrum. I hope you have a great rest of your day.